Welcome to Next Day Prep. What we are watching tomorrow. What a roller coaster of a day in the markets, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. An excitable market is putting it mildly. It felt like whiplash, especially before the open with those tariff posts flying around.
Right? First, Apple getting a warning shot. Potentially 25% tariffs on US-bound iPhones if not made domestically. That's a direct hit on a titan.
And then, boom, a much bigger shockwave. A proposed 50% straight tariff on the EU, effective June 1st, because, and I quote, trade talks are going nowhere. The market definitely felt that one.
You could see it instantly in treasuries. The 10-year yield dropped from 4.54% down to 4.45% in a blink. The 30-year slid from 5.04% to 4.98%. Classic flight to safety.
But that safety bid in bonds didn't exactly soothe equity futures, did it? They took a sharp risk-off turn. And the VIX, oh boy, the VIX shot up to 25.53 from around 20 just the day before.
Tell me about it. Shortly after the open, we saw the Dow down 1.2%, NASDAQ shedding 1.7%, S&P 500 off 1.3%, and the Russell 2000 taking a 1.7% hit. Ouch.
And it wasn't just tariffs. We had some really disappointing guidance from retailers. Deckers Outdoor, Deck, got absolutely, well, decked, down almost 20%. And Ross Stores R.O.S.T. wasn't far behind, dropping 10% on weak guidance.
Then things seemed to calm a tad. CNBC reported a White House official suggesting these remarks were more negotiating leverage and that the market was overreacting. Do you buy that spin?
Well, it's a common tactic, isn't it? Talk tough, see what happens. But the market's initial reaction was pure fear. Treasury Secretary Bessent also tried to calm nerves, telling Bloomberg TV he isn't worried about rising Treasury yields, even suggesting it could be the bond market pricing in stronger growth from the reconciliation bill.
Interesting take. So where did yields and the VIX end up settling?
The 10-year note yield finished at 4.51%, still up 7 basis points for the week. The 30-year bond yield at 5.04%, up a hefty 14 basis points week over week. The VIX did back down a bit to around 21.92.
And the mega caps like Apple really felt the heat, pacing the retreat. Information technology, communication services, consumer discretionary, all down around 1% or more. The Vanguard Mega Cap Growth ETF, MGK, fell 1.1%.
Yep, a clear sign of risk aversion. The only sector really shining was utilities, up 1.2%. Defensive posturing, classic.
Breadth figures weren't pretty either. Decliners leading advancers 5-4 on the NYSE and a wider 13-9 margin on the NASDAQ. And a quick reminder for everyone, U.S. markets are closed Monday for Memorial Day.
Good point. Year-to-date, the picture isn't rosy. S&P 500 down 1.3%, NASDAQ off 3.0%, and the Russell 2000 is trailing significantly, down 8.5%.
Let's shift to the broader indices. The SPY and QQQ charts were showing some interesting patterns into the close, right?
They were. Both SPY and QQQ showed consolidation with a slight downward bias in recent intraday action. SPY closed below that key 580 psychological level. QQQ failed to hold above 511. Volume spiked on the sell-offs, suggesting some distribution.
And the VXX, the volatility index tracker, was moving up, signaling that increased market anxiety.
Exactly. That rise in VXX often means investors are hedging, expecting more bumps. We saw that sector rotation clearly, utilities and consumer staples resilient, while technology and consumer discretionary showed weakness, a definite shift to defensive names.
So, what are the key levels traders should be lasering in on for SPY and QQQ?
For SPY, support is critical at 578.0. If that breaks, 575.0 is next. On the upside, 581.5 is the nearest hurdle, with 585.0 as a stronger cap.
And for QQQ?
Immediate support at 508.0, then 506.0. Resistance-wise, 511.5 is key, and bulls will be eyeing 513.0 if we get a surge.
What about the economic data? New home sales looked strong on the headline.
They did. Surging 10.9% month over month in April to 743,000 units, beating consensus. But, and it's a big but, March's numbers were sharply revised downwards, so the net change March to April wasn't as exciting as that headline suggested.
Got it. And overseas, European markets were mostly red. DAX down 1.6%, CAC minus 1.7%. Asia was a bit more mixed. Nikkei up, Shanghai down.
Commodities saw some action too. Crude oil up a bit to $61.54. Gold had a massive day, up over $71 to $3,366.30. Silver also strong.
Wow, gold really catching a bid. Any other macro drivers we should note?
Definitely. The Senate is planning changes to that House-passed reconciliation bill. More spending cuts, softer Medicaid language. U.S. and China officials held a call, citing progress on trade talks, which is a sliver of good news amidst the tariff talk.
And President Trump signed an order to increase nuclear power. Plus, Boston Fed President Susan Collins hinted at potentially zero rate cuts this year. That's a hawkish feather in the wind.
Indeed. Lots of moving parts on the macro front. It's a complex puzzle right now.
Let's talk earnings. We had a flurry of reports. What stood out?
Autodesk ADSK beat and guided Q2 strong. Intuit INTU also delivered a solid beat and raise. Workday WDAY beat and reaffirmed its subscription revenue guidance. But then you had Booz Allen BAH missing slightly, and of course the retailers we mentioned, Deckers and Ross Stores, with those guidance disappointments.
Deckers, ticker DIEC, really took a beating. Down almost 20%. What happened there? They beat on EPS, didn't they?
They did, by a good 40 cents, continuing a five-year trend of EPS beats. But the devil was in the details. Revenue growth decelerated sharply to 6.5% year over year. That's way down from the high teen, low 20% they'd been posting.
And the guidance?
That was the killer. Downside guidance for Q1 2026, and here's the big one, they opted to withhold full year 2026 guidance. They cited macroeconomic uncertainties and an anticipated tariff impact of up to $150 million in cost of goods sold. That tariff hit alone is expected to pressure gross margins by about 250 basis points year over year, without immediate price increases to offset it.
So Hoka and UGG, their big brands, are slowing down?
Significantly. HOKA's net sales were up 10% in Q4, which sounds okay, but compare that to 24% growth in Q3, 35% in Q2. It's a clear slowdown. Model changeovers for key products like Bondi 9 and Clifton 10 led to more promotions. Plus, a strategic shift to wholesale diluted their direct-to-consumer performance.
And UGG?
UGG net sales grew just 3.6% in Q4, a big step down from 16% in Q3. They had inventory constraints limiting sales despite strong demand. Both brands are facing tougher comps and cautious U.S. consumer spending.
It's interesting, though. Their gross margin actually improved in Q4, up 50 basis points to 56.7%.
That's the one positive they highlighted. Disciplined inventory and a favorable product mix, especially in HOKA's premium offerings. But it wasn't enough to outweigh the growth concerns and that lack of FY26 guidance. The market hates uncertainty, and DEC delivered a truckload of it. No surprise we saw multiple downgrades. Telsey, Evercore ISI, KeyBank all cut their ratings.
A tough story for DEC. Now let's shift gears to some potential opportunities. I saw some interesting ants breakout ideas. What's the thinking there?
The ants breakout focuses on stocks showing strong bullish signals, particularly recent closes near highs on significant volume increases. The idea is to catch potential continuation of upward trends. Two names popping up are CyberArk, CYBR, and Q Biomed, QBTX.
Okay, let's break down CyberArk, CYBR. What are the levels?
For CYBR, support levels are around 379, 376, and 373. Resistance at 383, 386, and 389. The prediction is for continued upward momentum if it breaks past 383, possibly testing highs around 386 in the next few days. An entry near 379 support on a pullback could be considered with a stop at 376. Price targets are 386, potentially 389.
And Q Biomed QBTX?
QBTX has support at 123, 120, and 118. Resistance at 130, 133, and 136. It's likely to approach 130, and with sustained volume, could break through to 133. Entry near 123 support. Stop at 120. Targets are 133, with upside to 136 if the trend holds.
Any continuation plays on the radar from other analysis?
Yes, CTGO was flagged as a continuation setup. Traders should keep an eye on that for follow-through momentum.
And what about anticipation setups? Any names to watch before they potentially move?
ADBE, Adobe, was mentioned as an anticipation setup. This means watching for signs of a potential move before it fully breaks out, perhaps accumulating on dips.
Good stuff. So wrapping all this up, what are the main scenarios traders should be prepared for?
For a bullish scenario, we'd need to see a breakout above those resistance levels on SPY and QQQ, coupled with a declining VXX. Positive economic surprises or strong earnings could be catalysts. We'd likely see money rotate back into tech and consumer discretionary.
And the bearish case?
If economic data disappoints, or those geopolitical and trade tensions escalate further, more downside is likely. A break below key support levels could trigger accelerated selling. And, of course, continued VXX elevation would amplify bearish sentiment, signaling more volatility.
So the overall commentary is mixed to slightly bearish, with that defensive posturing very evident. Caution seems to be the watchword.
Absolutely. Heightened caution. Short-term traders need to be super alert to those pivotal support and resistance levels. They could really dictate the immediate market trajectory.
Any quick hits on other notable movers or analyst actions? We saw a lot of upgrades and downgrades.
Neon, Deck, and Rost, which we covered, WDAY, also saw a number of downgrades despite the earnings beat, which is interesting. On the upgrade side, Intuit, INTU, and Autodesk, ADSK, got multiple positive revisions. Wix.com, WIX, also got an upgrade to outperform at Robert W. Baird, and Morgan Stanley, MS, was upgraded to buy at Erste Group.
And on the downgrade front, apart from the retailers,
McDonald's, MCD, was downgraded to hold. Vertex Pharmaceuticals, VRTX, also cut to hold. And C Limited, SE, was downgraded to neutral. So plenty of analyst activity reshuffling the deck.
All right, a lot to digest before the holiday weekend and into next week's trading. What are the key takeaways for traders?
Remain cautious, especially with treasury yields fluctuating and putting pressure on equities outside those mega cap growth names. Focus on names with confirmed momentum and relative strength. Use tight stops near key support levels, and always, always monitor volume for signs of sustained buying or distribution.
Sound advice. And looking ahead, next week we have durable goods orders on Tuesday, FOMC meeting minutes on Wednesday, Q1 GDP second estimate and jobless claims on Thursday, and then personal income and spending on Friday, plus a ton of earnings.
Yes, NVIDIA, NVDA, reports after the bell on Wednesday, Salesforce CRM also Wednesday, Costco Cost and Dell DEEL on Thursday. So no shortage of potential market moving catalysts, even with a shortened trading week.
Indeed, it's going to be another dynamic week. Thanks for breaking it all down.
Anytime. Stay nimble out there.
That's all for this edition of Next Day Prep. Enjoy the long weekend, and we'll see you back ready for Tuesday's action. Trade smart, everyone, and goodbye for now.